welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York City. David, we got a world that is spiraling into chaos right now. Did you know that?
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, and people out there going, what? What do you mean it's beautiful? Well, it means that we're one day closer to being in heaven. That's why. So we're going to tell you what the Bible says about what things are going on here in just a minute. David, go ahead and pray us into the show, and then I'll let everybody know what we're going to talk about today.
All right. So, Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that you allowed us to live in this, the end of the age, when you're actually going to return. Father, we ask that we would actually see you return in the rapture. I know that even if we die, then we'll be raised first and then we'll see you. But it'd be cool to be alive and be one of those few that didn't die. Amen. But in the meantime, we're going to spread your word. We ask that you would anoint this and that you would get it out to the people who need to hear it. And you would show them that this world is short term and that your kingdom is eternal. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I mean, that was spot on, David, because that's exactly what we're going to get into today. And you know, people need to really hang in there with us because we got a lot to cover. We're going to start off with, did Zelensky try to assassinate Putin? This is something you're not going to hear in the mainstream media. I guarantee it, but I got video. I got video that is going to make you crazy, okay? So did Zelensky actually try to assassinate Putin? We're also going to talk about the United States news updates. There are a few there. News from around the world, of course, specifically in regard to Israel, of course. And then we're going to get into what the Bible tells us about the times that we're going through. So it's just a whole lot there. And again, if you are not watching us in visual form, please do go to lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net. We've got links there to both YouTube and Rumble. Unfortunately, we can't put everything on YouTube because of their continuing censorship policies, but every video is on Rumble. And of course, you can find us on radio stations all over the world. And if you're listening to us, we appreciate that as well. But what I'm going to start off.
Let us know where you're from. Send us, send us a letter.
Yeah. You can
email me the hidden day at protonmail.com. The hidden day at protonmail.com. Let us know you're listening.
Yeah. You can also send a message to office@lastchristian.net. That's office@lastchristian.net, and we can get it that way, too. So there's a couple of different ways that you can get in touch with us. And, of course, you can also get in touch with us through the website there at lastchristian.net. I want to show this real quick, David. This is, did Zelensky threaten Putin? The Ukrainian president recently suggested that Russian President Vladimir Putin is nearing the end of his life. And he said, he actually said this just last week. He, Putin, will die soon. And that's a fact, and it will come to an end. He's talking about the war ending. Now, these remarks coincide with ongoing speculation about Putin's health. Now, we went over this in the last show where they were suggesting possible cancer, Parkinson's disease, or something like that, that the Kremlin has always said is not there. But Zelensky's comments continue to heighten the tensions between the Ukraine and Russia as the conflict continues with significant geopolitical implications. Now, while some media outlets are also reporting that the Kremlin views Zelensky's comments as a threat of assassination with a firm warning that a Russian response to any such event would be catastrophic, not only for Zelensky, but for the Ukraine and even the world. Now, I know we covered a lot of that in the last show, but let's see here. I want you guys to see this. We'll walk you through it here real quick.
All of a sudden, it changed.
All of a sudden, we've got a vehicle there that is one of the official cars in the president's fleet that exploded really close to the Kremlin. And as you can see there, they've got the fire people that came in. This thing cost 275, I guess that's euros or something, I'm not sure, or whatever the Russian money is. But 275,000 in their money, I'm sure is pretty significant. And As you can see, they've got all kinds of fire trucks. There's people running in from restaurants and bars that went over to try to help in the situation. They weren't even sure if there was somebody in the vehicle or not. Now, here you see footage of servicemen that are the guards for Putin. And they're actually, they made them line up, and now they're going through there and they're searching them. Now, he's also got them checking the sewers before he goes anywhere. The sewers along his parade route, whenever he is in a limousine, mm-hmm. or whenever he goes somewhere, they make him check the sewers to make sure there's not any bombs there. So he's pretty paranoid about assassinations. And from what I understand, there have been several attempts on his life. But now you got this Ukrainian president who says, hey, he's going to die soon. And then like 3 days later, you got a limousine blow up. A coincidence, David? What do you think about this?
Here's what it is. That little boy Zelensky, he just doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut. So he's the puppet of the other powers that be, that don't like each other, the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. Mm-hmm. So they're all fighting each other for, you know, being the top dog. Now, he got some information. Hey, we're going to take care of this. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the Zelensky just opens his mouth and just spills the beans. So you got that. That's what I think. But you have other possibilities. I mean, since he did say that, which was stupid to even make a veiled threat in any way, because you could just say, oh, no, I see that as getting old. You still don't say that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now maybe that was staged. So now Putin has an excuse to go nuke them. You never know. Yeah. So maybe it's like, oh, I'll just pretend that he tried to kill me, and then now I have an excuse to not stop bombing them and take over. Which, you know, I wouldn't put it past Putin, because you know, he's a brilliant strategist, no matter evil or not. His strategy is terrific.
Yeah. Well, let me see here. There was one other report here. I want to see if there's anything different.
And they're already trying to squash that. I don't know if you saw that. They're trying to say no.
Yeah. Now, as you can see here, this isn't just an add-on to what we've already showed you, but the speculation was that there was a possible assassination attempt on the man. And then you've got others there that are saying, well, there's no evidence linking the burning vehicle to Putin or his convoy yet. But there, if you look very at the bottom there, however, the Russian president has made clear that any assassination attempt made against him by the Ukrainians will result in a nuclear response. So, you know, you can sit back, David, and think, okay, Putin may be getting ready to hit him with a nuclear weapon. We don't know. I mean, he could easily say, hey, you tried to kill me, boom. You know, I mean, he could do that at any time. I found it interesting that I got this report and it started, you know, I was getting reports left and right, and I kept waiting for it to come on the American media, and it never did. Not one mention of it. So what's up with that?
The question becomes, was it a real report or did they squash the real report?
Yeah.
So you got two options there. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I was getting those reports from very credible sources. I mean, very credible sources. But like I said, it never hit the American media. And I was waiting for it, you know, and it just never did. And that baffled me because can you imagine that there's an attempt on President Trump's life as there was during the campaign, and then the media in the world not covering the event? I don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, you got to remember the media here is all yay Ukraine. So maybe they just didn't want to actually show that part that, hey, he did try and kill him, because that would destroy their narrative of, look, they're just playing nice.
Okay, let's move on from that. We're going to some more U.S. news here. The United States has intensified its military campaign against the Houthi rebels there in Yemen. They have conducted numerous airstrikes, and I can tell you that the Yemen was getting pounded all weekend long, is the best I can tell you about that. The ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine has also seen significant developments, particularly concerning the involvement of the United States. As of today, the situation remains complex with diplomatic efforts, military engagements, and geopolitical strategies. President Trump has expressed frustration over the stalled ceasefire talks between Russia and Ukraine. He's criticized Russian President Putin for delaying peace efforts and threatened to impose substantial tariffs on Russian oil if a comprehensive ceasefire is not reached very, very soon. And he's also not happy with Zelensky either. Now, President Zelensky over there in the Ukraine has expressed concerns about the terms of the Rare Earth Minerals Agreement, particularly regarding sovereignty over the Ukraine's natural resources and the perceived inequity of the proposed revenue-sharing model. Ukrainian officials have described the deal as unfair and likened it to robbery. Now, President Trump has also criticized Zelensky for attempting to withdraw from the agreement between the United States and the Ukraine. Speaking to reporters, President Trump stated he's getting back, he's trying to back out of the rare earth deal. If he does that, he's got some problems, some big, big problems. And actually, I guess I ought to show that to people in case they missed it. So here goes.
Zelensky, by the way, I see he's trying to back out of the rare earth deal. And if he does that, he's got some problems, big, big problems. We made a deal on rare earth. And now he's saying, well, you know, I want to renegotiate the deal. He wants to be a member of NATO. Well, he was never going to be a member of NATO. He understands that. So if he's looking to renegotiate the deal, he's got big problems.
Yeah, he's got big problems, all right, because, you know, they're, what is it called, conscription? Anyway, they're trying to just get people in off the street, you know, to fight. You know, whether you want to or not, you know, you're in. They're running out of people.
He does have big problems because, you know, now we're not going to protect him.
Yeah, and we are his protector.
And he's not going to talk to Putin. He's not going to talk Putin out of it. He's like, oh, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, if you notice, Putin stepped up.
We had a deal, but now we don't.
If you notice, Putin stepped up attacks toward the Ukraine immediately when he saw that there was there was light between Zelensky and Trump. And, you know, he's not an idiot. Putin's not an idiot. He may be a dictator and all that kind of stuff, but he's not stupid. And, you know, if he sees an opening, he's going to take it. All right. In other news here, we got the pre-planned far-left communist demonstrators that have been doing that outside Tesla showrooms worldwide, actually, including in Australia, Switzerland, and, of course, here in the United States.
Why Australia?
These protesters, you know, what they're trying to do is pressure Elon Musk to cease his involvement in President Trump's Department of Government Efficiency, which has been responsible for significant federal budget cuts and layoffs. Also, another overreaching leftist federal judge has blocked the Trump administration's attempt to dismantle the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I've dealt with them, and they're useless. While other low-level district judges have also overstepped their authority with continued efforts to block the administration from closing down Voice of America, as well as the deportation of alleged criminal gang members, meant only to slow down the administration's effort to reduce waste, fraud, and abuse. And one thing that that happened on Monday was it was announced that there was more of these gang members that were deported to Venezuela. I think it's Venezuela.
Or El Salvador?
El Salvador. You're right. I'm sorry. El Salvador. And Trump didn't use that 1780 whatever order that the judge said wouldn't work. Instead, he used something called Title 8, which is it deals with terrorist activity and that, you know, that kind of thing. And so anyway, after they arrived in El Salvador, he let them know that that's what he did. So,
by the way, we sent them packing.
So they're out of the country. They're not going to bother anybody.
So you want to go get them back, that's on you.
Yeah. So what do you think about that, David? Do you think that Trump's just going to keep finding a new deal that gives him the authority to send them one at a time or something?
What do you think's going to happen? I would bet you $11,000 he already has a whole list of them lined up. He just doesn't show his card.
Yeah, he's pretty smart. You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the simplest thing. He's got this all planned, and he's got the smartest people working on it. Trust me. He's got people that are geniuses in all the right places, and they're like, okay, here. That matter of fact, they're throwing the weak ones up first, you know, so they shoot, you know, rope-a-dope. Here they are. Uh-huh, they're doing rope-a-dope on all the judges. So now everyone's going to vote them out because they're, like, obviously retarded.
Yeah. Well, now, these are federal judges. They can't vote them out.
What about Wisconsin and Florida? Aren't they voting for some judges?
Well, yeah, but that's statewide. Those are state judges. Yeah, the ones that are bothering Trump are the federal district judges.
But we can get them impeached, and now the people will stand behind and vote for impeachment.
Yeah, impeachment is an option, but you've got to remember that they have to have 66 senators vote in favor of impeachment. And right now,
they're going to do something.
Yeah, the thing is that what they're trying to do is change the law, in Congress, what they're looking at is one district judge, and a district can be like, for instance, the District of New York or the District of East Texas, whatever. I mean, you know, it's a small area, and it, for you guys up there, it would be who knows how many district judges you got in New York. I don't even know how many we got in Texas. But they're trying to make it to where one district judge cannot just say, all right, and I'm a district judge in Texas, and I don't like what's going on in Oregon, so I'm going to shut that down. You know, they shouldn't have that kind of power. They shouldn't have that power. And it's never been tested, to my knowledge. So that may be what, Trump has already appealed a couple of these stupid rulings to the Supreme Court. And so we got to wait and see if John Roberts continues to show his rhino side or if he actually votes as a conservative should and vote with the Constitution, which would allow President Trump to do what he needs to do. That's really what we got to wait on with that. But go ahead.
He's got a handful of ace of clubs and spades and all sorts of things up his sleeve already. I guarantee you he's got a whole supply of them. He's probably got a whole deck full of them.
Yeah, well, he's had 4 years. We got this.
Because,
he's got 4 years to work on it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and then all the other people that, are working with him that are tired of it. I mean, Head Cess was, making millions. And now his salary is like $250K. He's like, they're not making anything. Yeah. Bongino, he was making millions in his podcast. He comes down to make a couple hundred grand, not even.
And a lot of people are working for free, like Elon Musk, for instance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I really don't need the money. I just want to help people, which is why the money keeps coming to him, honestly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's doing things that, that are people like.
Yeah.
And now even the Tesla sales, it's not even like there's 100,000 people that work at Tesla all over the place. Mm-hmm. And these people are hurting their jobs, and ironically, it was all the liberal leaning ones that bought the electric cars. And now they're all destroying each other's cars.
Yeah. This is one liberal group destroying what the other liberal group bought. I don't know anybody that's got an electric car, and the thing is that, for a very short time, a couple of years, I worked in a car dealership, and they were just getting hybrids, Now, a hybrid, I think I could buy that, I think I could justify buying a hybrid if they bring the cost of a battery down, because back when I was working in a dealership, I was told that, if you've got if that electric battery goes out, then you'd better just buy a new car. It costs that much to repair it,
Yeah, it's cheaper just to get a new one. And that's part of the problem. They'll work on that too, though.
Yeah.
Did you see that Saturday Night Live skit where they had one that just ran on like 42,000 AA's? And they just change them. They keep changing the double A's out.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, I could probably get along with doing a hybrid car, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I would never just go strictly electric ever.
Well, if it was a true Tesla, he invented cars that would actually get energy from the air, and which is why they dementorized him. I mean, he was partly demented to begin with, and that's where he got all these ideas from. But then they took all his stuff, and he had free energy. You could build a Tesla coil, put it into the ground, and it would just go, you know, those globes that go,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and that actually provide free energy for everybody, and they couldn't have that. But the cars would run on that, and airplanes and everything.
Yeah.
They said, oh, you just put these around, and the airplane could use the energy as it's flying over with no fuel or anything.
Wow.
So, and that's available now. Energy is just everywhere. If you look at zero-point energy, there's like 1 cubic centimeter of zero-point energy would run the Earth for as long as we've been around.
Wow.
That's how much energy God put in the universe. But they don't can't monetize that. So,
yeah, if you can't make money on it, you're never going to see it. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, got a couple other things to go over here in the first half of the show, and really going to get in now to a little bit of what's going on as far as the Earth spiraling out of control into chaos. You got to look at earthquakes first. Okay, now this is just over the past week, David. You had the Myanmar earthquake there on March the 28th. It was a magnitude 7.7. Now, there have been at least, at the time of taping here, at least 1,700 fatalities and over 3,400 injuries. The earthquake caused extensive damage to infrastructure, including buildings, bridges, and dams. Neighboring countries like Thailand also experienced significant effects, with casualties and structural collapses reported in Bangkok. And rescue operations are ongoing. I can tell you this, that Israel sent over a group of people. They've got technology that will look through debris to find people, and mm-hmm. they are responsible for at least finding one person for sure. I haven't heard any more reports. You also have
What's cool? I saw there was a company that trained rats.
Trained rats to go find people?
Yeah, chained rats, they put a little backpack on the rat, right, which was kind of like a GPS locator, mm-hmm. and they trained the rat to go find somebody, okay, and then I don't know if they got the treat, but when they found someone, they trained them to flip like a little switch, and then it would locate them.
Are you telling me the truth here, or is this
it's a real story. No, rats are actually really smart. I mean, you've seen the pizza rat in New York City. They actually trained the rats to mm-hmm. do this. And it's a brilliant idea because they'll just scurry down into everything.
Yeah.
But they're trained to go find somebody. And then when they do, they flip a little switch and then they get a treat for it. You know, they get their little, rat sugar or whatever they get. I thought that was a brilliant idea.
Yeah, that sounds like it. All right. You also got the Tonga earthquake. This was magnitude 7. Now, it resulted in minor damage and prompted a brief tsunami evacuation with residents in the capital. I'm not going to try to pronounce the capital's name. They moved to higher ground following the tsunami warnings, which were later lifted. Thankfully, there was no significant casualties reported. But Tonga is an island, and I'm sure they go through this quite often, so they're probably pretty used to it. In New Zealand, theirs hit on March 25th. It was a magnitude 6.7, and a tsunami with a height of 0.5 meters was observed in southwest Fiordland, wherever that mm-hmm. is. Again, no significant damages or casualties. And then there was a Philippines earthquake on March the 22nd. It was a magnitude 5.7, and I had only asked for earthquakes over 5 magnitude. I didn't want to concentrate on all the other ones. But anyway, this one affected 31 people that were injured, 23 houses destroyed, 947 others damages in southern Leyte. Landslides mm-hmm. occurred in the Leona, San Francisco, San Bernard area. So anyway, that's it for earthquakes. One more we get in here before the first half ends. This is the unrest in Turkey, the detention of the Istanbul mayor, who was actually he's running like in place to try to beat out Erdogan there. So the leader of the Republican People's Party, the CHP, has called for weekly rallies and expanded economic boycotts targeting business linked to Erdogan. And despite heavy police presence and mass arrests, these protests have garnered substantial public support, particularly from urban middle-class citizens. And I got a lot more there. You guys can halt the video or whenever you're watching this and read all of that. But Erdogan is under fire in Turkey. And we can only hope that he that he gets bumped out, because he's going after Israel pretty hard. You know, he wants the all of anybody that's of the Islamic faith to go up against Israel. That's his big thing right now. You got any comment on any of that, David?
I mean, that's the unrest we're going to see. I'm just waiting for that moment that Damascus goes up, because this is going to cause all that. They're just going to keep fighting, and someone's going to light that fuse one way or another. Mm-hmm. So and every day the story changes. So yeah. It's just hard to keep up with it. It just fits Revelation to the T.
Yeah.
We're all going to fight.
I don't want to step on you there, but in the second half, we're going to Syria. We're going to talk about it, because there are some events over there that are going on mm-hmm. that are very biblical. So we definitely want to get into that. David, why don't you tell us about the Thursday night discipleship study?
Well, that's always fun. We just get into the Word and do a deep dive study with some pretty smart people coming mm-hmm. up with some pretty smart ideas. And we just talk about them. We dig into the Word. We discuss it. There's no pontificating. It's all iron mm-hmm. sharpens iron. We're going to yep. discuss the Word and see where it goes. That's Thursday nights, New York time, 8 p.m. New York time. And you can get to thehiddenday.com, and there's a link on there, thehiddenday.com. You see the link. And it will take you to the discipleship study.
And then so on Friday night, on Friday, some point on Friday.
We're starting Fridays, probably in the next, maybe next week, maybe this week. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll tell you.
We're going to FAFO Fridays, and we've been experimenting with how we want that to go. But that's mm-hmm. just a fun show where people will fluff around and find out.
Right.
So, and there's been quite a few of them lately.
Yeah.
So we're getting more and more fodder. Mm-hmm. That's it. So
should be fun.
You definitely got to join us on the other shows, because they're mm-hmm. just a lot of fun. And just in case we're raptured during the interlude here, just accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Other than that, we'll see you in the second half. Bye.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, I'm J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York City on your left. Mm-hmm. David, I'm going to hop right back into this because we got a lot of ground to cover. And we're going to start here in Israel. And,
oh, I love Israel.
Yeah. Well, this is your Israel and Gaza update. The Israeli military has issued evacuation orders for most of Rafah. And this is signaling a potential major ground operation against Hamas. The move follows the collapse of a ceasefire and has led to intensified air and ground assaults. Now, as of March 31st, ceasefire negotiations between Israel and Hamas have been marked by a series of proposals and counterproposals and ongoing military actions. Hamas expressed willingness to release 5 living Israeli hostages in exchange for a 50-day ceasefire. This proposal included the release of the last American hostage, Eden Alexander. Now, Hamas also released a video of a hostage that was pleading for freedom, aiming to garner support for their proposal. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu acknowledged the receipt of new ceasefire proposals and emphasized Israel's commitment to securing the release of hostages. However, Israel countered and proposed a truce lasting between 40 to 50 days, during which approximately half of the remaining hostages, both living and deceased, would be released by Hamas. Specifically, this entails the release of half of the 24 living hostages and half of the 35 individuals presumed dead. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has emphasized that any ceasefire agreement must include provisions for Hamas to disarm. However, Hamas has consistently rejected disarmament, considering it a red line they're unwilling to cross. In other words, they're not going to give up their hostages. I mean, they want to drag this out for eternity if they can, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's their goal. It's Islam. They're not interested in any kind of a ceasefire. They view that as a weakness. What they're interested in is bringing on World War III, mm-hmm. Because that's going to bring their Mahdi in. Mm-hmm. So I looked that one up. So anybody who is siding with them, you got some serious problems, because the King of Kings is coming, mm-hmm. and he's not going to listen to your protests or your whining or your flags, mm-hmm. or you're going to be standing on the highways blocking traffic. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's just going to pull the sword out. And it's going to be one fell swoop, and then you'll be before the throne, and when then it's the lake of fire after that.
Yeah.
No more games after that. And that's if you're not killed in the interim. So, but he's not playing. People think, you know, Jesus is his pansy coming back, because they paint him as, oh, he was so nice. And I get that all the time. People say, oh, you're not acting like a Christian. Did you ever see what Jesus did? and he was being nice back then. Mm-hmm. Now he's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah and as the great judge. And he's not interested in your stories. He knows your heart. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the first time he came to save, right? And mm-hmm. and laid down his life for all of us, that we could believe in him, because no one gets to the Father except through him. But the second time around, he's not coming back to save. He's coming back to judge. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I know my destination is the Bema seat. Mm-hmm. I know I got to stand trial, basically, for this. But I also know that the blood of Christ will cover me. And
And you're already adjudicated.
Yeah, and I'm
you
good.
You have been pronounced innocent.
Right. But those that are unlucky enough to stand before the great white throne, well, I wouldn't want to be you. Mm-mm. Your destination is not one that that anybody would want, and it never ends. There's no escape from it. There's no parole.
But you do have the opportunity while you're still alive to receive Christ, and then he will pay for your sins so you don't have to pay for them.
Amen. Right. Okay, David, do you remember this guy? Let me put his picture up here on screen for you and see if you remember him.
Is that Shreddy?
Yeah, that's Sweats right there. Yeah, you remember him? He was sweating like a Russian racehorse, is what I call it, when he was there in, what was it? What, Lebanon, mm-hmm. I think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he's
when
he's
chasing
moved.
Them all around.
Yeah,
he's
moved
a big
on.
Shot again?
Yeah, he's a big shot now. I don't think he took over fully for the other guy, Nasrall or whatever his name was. I don't think he ever accepted that position. As a matter of fact, he tried to resign from Hezbollah, and they wouldn't let him. But now he seems to be getting his courage back because he's starting to talk. So that brings us to this, the Israel and Hezbollah update. Over this past weekend, tensions between Israel and Hezbollah have been escalating significantly. This marks a deterioration in the fragile ceasefire that was established in November. Now, on Friday, Israel conducted an airstrike in Beirut's southern suburbs, targeting a building used by Hezbollah for drone storage. The action represented the first Israeli attack on Beirut since the ceasefire agreement. Now, prior to the strike, Israel issued evacuation orders for the area, allowing residents to leave before the strike. Now, there again is something that the other countries never do and that Israel never gets credit for, and that's to give the civilians in the area a chance to leave before they hit. I've never heard of a country doing that before. Nobody.
And then, at the risk of giving up their secret, too.
Right.
Like, listen, we'd rather save lives than just come in secretly and blow the place up.
Right.
Like, no, we're coming to blow it up, so if you want to leave, you should get out now.
Yeah, get out now. Now, that airstrike followed the launch of two rockets from southern Lebanon toward Israel without notice, of course, earlier during the day. One rocket was intercepted by Israel's defense systems, and the other one landed in Lebanese territory. So basically, it went up and came right back down again. In a televised address on Saturday, now this is where Sweats comes in. Naeem Qassem is his name. He warned that if Israel attacks on Lebanon continued and the Lebanese government failed to intervene, that Hezbollah would consider alternate actions, implying potential retaliation. Qassem emphasized that while Hezbollah remained committed to the ceasefire, ongoing Israeli aggressions could compel the group to respond. Now, obviously, these events have significantly strained the Israeli-Hezbollah ceasefire, with military actions and rhetoric indicating a potential slide back into broader conflict if diplomatic solutions are not effectively pursued. So what do you think of that, and what do you think of old Sweats popping back up again?
Yeah, so he thinks he's in hiding, but I can pretty much bet. You know that same $11,000, I'll bet you that Mossad knows where he's at.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
So, and they're just letting him play stupid games and win stupid prizes. So we're going to see him. And it's the same thing. Oh, they throw rockets at Israel, and then Israel retaliates. Hey, you're attacking us. And it's the same five-year-old games that they've played for the last 4,000 or 5,000 years.
Yeah, and the world sides with them, even though they're the ones that are provoking everything. Why does the world – well, I know why, but I'll let you explain it. Why does the world always blame Israel and not the people that actually initiate the problem?
Mm-hmm. Well, here is the ultimate reason. Mm-hmm. Is because there's principalities and powers over all the different parts of the world. and now even over, you know, people's hearts and minds as well, but they do have territories. And there's one territory that belongs to Almighty God, and he saved that for himself, and that is Israel. Mm-hmm. And he saved the people for himself, which is the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how good or bad they are, because we've seen very many instances of them not being so good,
right?
On all the different sects of the Israels, from the Hasidics to the Sephardics to the, all sorts of different ones, and we get it. Yeah, mm-hmm. they're not perfect people. However, that's not the issue. The issue is that God called them as a chosen race to demonstrate his power and authority, mm-hmm. while these other principalities and powers have their authority over those different nations. And that was done to adjudicate properly, to show that, hey, this is a superior kingdom. So when we do get to the great white throne, he can say, he can demonstrate that. And now he can be a righteous judge, because mm-hmm. your sin and failures have been demonstrated. Therein lies that. Now, all the rest of the world says, oh, well, we don't want that, because then we're going to be judged. So the principalities and powers, they, you know, speak their little things into their leaders, and that gets down into the sheepish people mm-hmm. who can't think for themselves, and they just repeat what they're told.
Right.
And essentially, it's that spirit coming down on them that says, I don't care how right you are, we're just going to turn against you. It's the same spirit that you see, you know, last year they were praising electric cars up and down. It's going to be the savior of the world.
Right.
And this year, this exact same people are, you know, burning down Tesla shops and cars and mm-hmm. scraping them up all over the nation.
And that's the best electric car you can get.
Yeah. I'm not really a fan of electric cars, but that's a good electric car.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my point on electric cars, and this is my personal opinion, guys, but, mm-hmm. you know, when it gets hot here in Texas, let's say it goes to 110, and believe it does this, okay? Mm-hmm. They tell everybody, you know, you need to turn your thermostat up, otherwise, we got to do rolling blackouts. Okay, mm-hmm. well, if they can't handle that, how in the heck are they going to get everybody in electric cars and provide the electricity for it, you know, without the grid going down? You know, in my opinion, it's impossible. But, you know,
so I'm going to get me a hydrogen car that has a backup gasoline engine.
Might be a good idea. Okay, let's look at this next hot spot here. This is, of course, Yemen. They remain embroiled in a complex conflict centered around the Houthis. That's an Iran-backed Shiite group that has significantly influenced that nation's trajectory. Now, over the weekend, the United States intensified its airstrikes. We talked about this earlier. But they were operating, targeting multiple locations, including the capital of Sana'a. And this resulted in significant damage to their infrastructure there and to their leadership and to everything else. I mean, as I said, President Trump has really been pounding them for days. These operations are part of a broader campaign aiming to suppress the Houthi threats to maritime navigation in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. The Houthis have launched missile and drone attacks targeting Israel and U.S. naval forces in the Red Sea. They have failed to reach the USS Harry S. Truman multiple times within a 24-hour period. In other words, they saw the stuff coming and we shot it down. The Israeli military also reported they intercepted a missile launch from Yemen with air raid sirens activated across multiple areas. So I think the Houthis are becoming less and less of a threat, David. They're not a huge group, but, you know, They can cause problems, and they have caused problems, especially in the Red Sea. What do you think about that one? Do you think that they're really all that important in this?
No, they're not. Again, they're pawns, just like Hamas mm-hmm. is of the bigger nation of mm-hmm. Iran, and not necessarily the people of Iran, because they're having the largest revival of a Christian nation anywhere in the world.
Yes,
the people of Iran. But they're all having it in their little, you know, secret house churches and stuff. They don't, you know, they're not filled with worshiptainment like we are here. They have their
good
meetings,
word for it.
And that's growing. But what's happening is that is kind of ticking off the devil, and mm-hmm. then now the people in their the leadership over there, they're the ones that are now okay, we got to ramp this up. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. and they consider all the other people as pawns.
No.
Okay. So they think Hamas is pawns. They think the Houthis are pawns, and they're like, they don't want to use their own people because they'll get killed. So they right. tell them, oh yeah, you have to do this in the name of Allah, and then you'll get 70 virgins and all this other stuff, and they feed right. them a line of bull, so they would die for their cause. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Houthis are. They think they're doing something bold, and they're just being used as pawns by the very people they think they love.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen is they're going to start blowing them up, and just by default, there's going to be less and less of them. And then the ones who are left are the ones that aren't going to want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Jesus is going to come in their dreams, and then they'll be saved, and they won't do it anymore anyway.
Amen. Let's hope. Because, mm-hmm. like I said, President Trump has really ordered them to go after these guys. So they're mm-hmm. they're really getting pounded. Now, I want to move on here to Syria. Syria is undergoing significant political and social transformations following the ousting of President Bashar al-Assad. Syria's new transitional government was sworn in this past weekend, led by Secretary General Ahmad al-Sharara. Now, supposedly they are including diverse religious and ethnic backgrounds, hoping to reflect inclusivity. And I call no on that. But anyway, you can see there we got some different people that were opposed or appointed to different positions. I'm not going to read them all. The return of the White Helmets to Damascus signifies a notable shift in the capital's atmosphere. Previously labeled as terrorists by the Assad regime, the group is now actively assisting in rebuilding efforts, particularly in war-ravaged suburbs. Despite the ousting of President Bashar al-Assad and the establishment of this transitional government, persecution persists in Syria, manifesting in various forms across the nation. And this is what I really want to concentrate on. Recent reports indicate a surge in sectarian violence, particularly targeting the Alawite community. In Damascus, you've got masked individuals have detained and killed members of this minority group. Similar violence has been reported on Syria's coast, leading to hundreds of Alawite deaths and causing many families to flee. Religious minorities, including Christians, continue to face significant challenges. There are reports highlighting rising crime, increased corruption, growing religious discrimination, and political instability, all contributing to a climate of fear among Christian communities. The Islamic group, HTS, which played a role in Assad's removal, has been implicated in serious human rights violations. And despite attempts to present itself as a legitimate governing body, HTS has been documented engaging in extrajudicial executions, arbitrary arrests, torture, and forced conversions, particularly targeting religious minorities. The legacy of arbitrary detentions and forced disappearances remains a pressing issue. Families continue to search for loved ones who vanished into the prison system during the Assad regime. In summary, while political changes have occurred, various forms of persecution continue to afflict Syria, affecting religious minorities, specific ethnic communities, and individuals associated with the previous regime. And, of course, the big one that we are mostly interact. Well, I can't say mostly. I mean, we want everybody to be safe, obviously, but we've got to concentrate on the fact that Christians are being persecuted, and this again mm-hmm. is something that's been called out in the last days, according to Christ. Correct?
Yeah, that's specifically what he said. And it's going to come to the point where if you don't take the mark of the beast, mm-hmm. then you'll be beheaded. If they can find you, some people mm-hmm. are going to hide though. Some people are going to make it through. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be the goal. And it's during the tribulation, it's going to be black and white, and it's coming yeah. to this point now. There's mm-hmm. not going to be this gray area. No one's going to say, oh, well, about this religion and that yeah. religion. Mm-hmm. You're either going to serve Jesus or you're going to serve the Antichrist. It's your
Amen.
Only choices.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Look at this, David. This is, the moral collapse. Okay, and I've got a couple of Bible verses here, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, and Isaiah 5, 20 through 23. It says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power. That comes from the New Testament. So you say, okay, well, you know, whatever. New Testament doesn't count, right? Okay, well, let's go to the Old Testament. In Isaiah 5, 20 through 23, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. I know you got comments on this one, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, the people don't understand, and I think it's getting worse and worse. They're libeling the creator of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and they're going to say all this stuff, and they say the most ridiculous things. Oh, there's no God, that, you know, mm-hmm. And they call them, you know, your sky fairy, and they make all this stuff. And it just blows my mind that they can actually sit there, the one who made them, and they're going to do all this stuff to come against them. Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for him.
Amen.
So I'm just baffled, but that's what it says here. We're at the end of the age,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're going to see, and that's just baffling, which just goes to show you the not the strength that Satan has, but the delusional power that he has,
mm-hmm. yeah.
with the twisting of words.
Yeah, he's going down. He's going down, and he knows it. And I think he's just trying to drag as many others down with him as he can. I mean, that's one way to look at it.
That's what it is, because he wants, number one, he's got his offspring, which are, you know, the fallen angels that followed him, mm-hmm. but then also the ones that they had offspring. Mm-hmm. The only reason they want to keep this earth around is so they have a place to live, and then they can live with their offspring. Mm-hmm. So they have to steal gods. They can't make their own.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But if they're stealing gods, they have to get rid of God's inheritor. Mm-hmm. God gave the whole universe to mankind. He gave us the title deed to it. So he has to usurp the owner, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has to take that away from mankind. So that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to destroy mankind. He has to destroy Israel because they're the promised people. He has to pretend he's Jesus so people follow mm-hmm. him, and he's trying to lead them all astray. Mm-hmm. So this is his plan, because he, you know, without this universe, there's only the lake of fire.
Right.
So he's trying to take over this universe, and mm-hmm. but we own the title deed because Jesus gave it to us, and as a man, he purchased it back.
Amen.
So mm-hmm. it still belongs to mankind, because that's what he had to do. It's all part of the contract. It belongs Amen. To a man. That's why Jesus had to become a man.
So let's look at this. We got political and military chaos. We've gone over this a few times, and that's the reason I didn't put the scripture in here. But, you know, see Ezekiel 38 and Matthew 24. You got spiritual deception. Matthew 24:11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. We're seeing that. Now, this is what Paul painted as a moral picture of a society unraveling in the last days, people turning inward, abandoning godliness. And then you got the moment, the rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, this speaks of the transformation of believers' bodies, glorified in an instant at the sound of the trumpet. And going on here just a little bit, so Jesus descends from heaven, that's First Thessalonians 4. A trumpet sounds, a shout is heard, the dead in Christ rise first. Living believers are caught up, transformed into glorified bodies, and believers at a point in time, and I made a real effort to put that in there, David, at a point of time, we'll meet Jesus in the air and are with him forever. We don't know when that point of time is. It could be at the actual instant of the rapture, or it could be mm-hmm. A second later, or it could be a lot later. Anyway, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what we've got to look forward to. And that's, you know, that's the wrap of the show right there, is the fact that the rapture is your escape. And David, you've got time here, so go ahead and go for it. And let's try to lead a few people to Christ.
Yeah, and there are those who are not aware, let's say, that the rapture will happen before the tribulation period. So let me just touch on that a little bit. Okay. Every single time, and I don't fault people for this, and it's not an argument point, but I just want to, you know, just straighten out some ideas. One idea is that, you know, the church replaced Israel, okay, and it just hasn't. Okay, because you got to understand the geopolitical nature of everything, and you got to understand Psalm 82, and you got to understand Mount Hermon and the principalities and powers. They all have their territories. Mm-hmm. It has to be there. And so he's got the one territory, and then let the others do what they do. But then he says, I'm going to provide a savior, and they're going to go out to the rest of the territories and gather in my people. And now that'll be that people that rule and reign with him over the earth. But Israel still plays that central role. Mm-hmm. The church plays the role because we're going to be the stars of Abraham's offspring, the ones that rule with Christ in the heavenly as his bride, as the body of Christ. Right. Okay. But Israel's still going to play that central role in ruling on the earth. Mm-hmm. There's still going to be, you know, he's going to be king of Israel and the throne of David in Jerusalem. And there's going to be the real temple there, mm-hmm. that he makes, not the one that the, you know, nation makes and the Antichrist sits on. That's right. Going to be destroyed, but he'll sit on the throne of David. I mean, mm-hmm. it's crystal clear that's what he said.
Right.
And then when you read all the prophets, they all say the same thing. Israel's going to rule this and that. And they thought Jesus was coming back then. Mm-hmm. Even in Acts chapter 1, when he came back, he said, now are you going to take over and restore Israel? Mm-hmm. He's like, not yet. Hang on a second, he says. You know, mm-hmm. it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, is what mm-hmm. he says. But for me, that's, yo, slow down.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not yet. Mm-hmm. He says, you see the way he went up? You're watching him go up, he's mm-hmm. going to come back the same way. That's what the rapture is. It's not a disappearing. And I think that's what caused a lot of people to think that's nuts. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, people just vanish all of a sudden. And that's not what the Bible says. It says our bodies will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible.
Amen.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Mm-hmm. And then we'll rise up in the air with the dead ones and the live ones will change at the same time, mm-hmm. and then we'll rise up together to meet our bridegroom in the air.
Yeah, and it doesn't say instantly.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they conflated the two ideas. So I mm-hmm. get that, but you really got to read, folks.
Yeah,
and then they say without fail, they always bring up Matthew 24 and then Luke, and they say, mm-hmm. "Oh, look, it says." And after that time, then Jesus will appear. And that's true. Jesus will appear mm-hmm. after the tribulation of those days.
Right.
But he'll appear with his bride, who was already up at the wedding supper and had spent that 7 years in heaven with him.
Amen.
So
Amen.
The church will be with him. Not everybody can be the bride at a wedding. That'd be right. kind of weird if everybody was the bride. Mm-hmm. You have to have the bridesmaids. You got to get the groomsmen. You got to get the family of the bride, the family mm-hmm. of the groom. You got to get mm-hmm. the attendants. You know, and then you got the officiant. There's a lot of people at a wedding.
Yeah.
And even his parables about you're not allowed in his wedding because you ain't wearing the wedding garments. Well, the wedding garments, that's not the bride. Mm-hmm. But somebody was allowed into the wedding, but they weren't the bride.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Different harvests. That's why he always talks about that. There's Amen. Different groups of people, different harvests. So you really got to understand that the bride of Christ will be taken up to be with Jesus and will have the wedding during the tribulation that's going on down here. That's all we got for this time. So hopefully you'll be with us in that wedding. We'll see you guys next time, Lord willing. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.